And now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's In the Green Room. Green is in, but what does that really mean for you? Join the gang for a fun and energetic half-glass, half-full perspective to what and how sustainability is the lifestyle for the future. It can really affect everything you do, from your health, wallet, environment, money, even your morals. So our goal, to help save the planet one show at a time. Now, welcome to the Green Room.
Welcome, everybody, to Scottsdale, Arizona, and In the Green Room is here tonight, and I'm Kinga.
I'm Quita.
And I'm Diane.
And you guys know the motto. Memorize it. It's saving the planet
one show at a time.
Quita.
Yes, we of course want to.
Diane, how was your Thanksgiving?
Well, and that's what I was going to say. We want to welcome you guys from your big Thanksgiving weekend, and we're so proud that you're listening to us. And yes, Diane, we'll start with you.
Yeah,
did you eat
Diane.
A whole lot? Or
well, no,
comatose.
Comatose. Yes. And no, we had a great Thanksgiving. Our kids were back from school, you know, from different states, so that was a lot of fun.
We got to see Allie.
And yes, you got to see Allie.
We had dinner
and,
with her. That
yes,
was nice.
Yes. And so that was all good. And, you know, I'm kind of like in my mind moving on to Christmas, and I kind of get freaked out by all the waste with Christmas in the boxes.
Tell me about it. Oh, my gosh.
And just, you know, things are starting to arrive at our house, and it's like I have to get rid of all the cardboard and, you know, and I just feel like these stores should be taking back their cardboard and recycling it or breaking it up for us.
Right.
Good point.
So anyway,
Diane,
as I'm having my iced tea today, I kind of like looked up some tips on sustainability, being green during the Christmas season. And one thing I wanted to say is, I mean, everybody likes to wrap their packages and make them look all pretty and everything like that. But there's many ways you can save money by not buying wrapping paper and still make it look great. I, for one, recycle ribbon. So any ribbon I get, I have a whole bag of ribbon for years past. So you might have that, but you can use just even paper bags from the grocery store. You can wrap with that and then use a little piece of ribbon, or you can draw a little something on it or tie a little something on
it. I love the idea of drawing on it.
Yeah, but then you're using, you know, recycling the bags you got at the grocery store. Just flip them inside out. That's a great way. Another thing is if you do wind up buying any type of wrapping paper, don't buy the foil paper. It doesn't recycle well, and it's hard to break down. Mm-hmm. So
that's
stay
good to know
away
that.
From,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
really?
So stay away from the foil type of wrapping paper if you're going to do it. And then there's always newspaper, guys. I know. I mean, it could kind of be really pretty if you put like something red, like a ribbon around it or something like
that. Well, and it's the thought, right? Not necessarily
so
the paper.
That was kind of my weekend, just starting to like look in the garage and see what we have to work with.
Well, and there's also those Christmas bags, or, you know, just those reusable bags that they have that you buy. And those are easy to reuse because you don't have to rip them open.
Well, you know my tip. Yeah. How do I save money? I just don't buy gifts.
No gifts?
No.
Just
no gifts. That's the easy way.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
It's all about the meaning. No, really, though, my family, we actually celebrate Kwanzaa mainly because it's more about culture and the meaning of, you know, the holiday. And it's about making gifts and spending time with family. Because I think a lot of people, the whole meaning of why Christmas came about, people just lost it. And it became all about gifts. And people go in debt and recycling. You know, it's horrible. Our landfills. And so we don't celebrate.
Well, how about people out there buying our shirts that are going to be sending a message about spreading our green love and green kindness and sustainability? Mm-hmm. We're going to have those shirts when, Quita?
December 15th.
And they're going to say, or is that a surprise?
It's a surprise, so stop.
Okay, Diane.
She is always trying to give the surprise away, right?
But everybody can get our shirts.
Yes.
And that is spreading the green love. And let's all try to give those away for Christmas gifts.
Okay. Yeah, you hear that, guys? Sure. That's what Kinga wants.
We're going to have bags, shirts, and hats. So
very soon.
And they're going to be cool. They're not going to be these ugly shirts that you don't want to wear. They're going to be really cool.
Yes.
Diane,
I've seen it. I think it's adorable.
Okay, and so we're excited.
Designed by your daughter, your talented daughter.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Talented in many ways.
Yes, she did all our logos and designs. And if you out there need logos, let us know, because Rachel Johns is the logo girl. She's we'll have her
logo
on our
girl.
Website so you guys can contact her. So what else did you guys do, Quita? We didn't hear about your Thanksgiving.
My Thanksgiving was actually really nice because I got to relax. I did have to do a little bit of work, But I got up at 5 a.m., knocked it all out by 9, and I was ready for the day to relax. We did something different this year. We did not have a whole big group of people because I just wanted to relax.
Because you were at the mall doing all that smart shopper stuff.
Yes, I had to work all morning. And, you know, people are all into the whole Black Friday and all of that good stuff. So,
and I was at the mall, and it was so congested.
Yeah.
I was with my friend Margo, and we could not move. There were so many people.
Yeah.
I mean, we were scared.
That's not fun for me.
Yeah, it was not fun. It was not fun. We left. Mm-hmm. We left,
So it was nice. I didn't really have to do any shopping for Thanksgiving. We went in the backyard, and I just made a bunch of appetizer-y type things. And then I told the kids, go play, and whenever you want something to eat, come on in. And that's literally, they all day were outside. They come back, have a deviled egg, run back out, come back, have a shishito. You know, so it was nice. And we were able to pretty much make everything from the backyard.
Did you guys play with the chickens?
Well, we don't really play with them, but...
You didn't take the chicken for a walk?
No, we didn't take them for a walk, but we did a little bit of cuddling.
But their chickens are pets, guys. They do not eat their chickens.
Are. Yes.
They do eat the eggs, but they play with their chickens. Yes. And it's not a joke, guys. It's not. No, it's true.
No, she's absolutely right.
They lay more eggs if you cuddle with them.
So do you want to hear about my Thanksgiving? Hello?
Yes.
Do you guys want to hear about mine?
Yeah, tell
us. Okay. So my Thanksgiving was filled with... spending time with the kids and lots of friends. I had lots of invites. I was very lucky.
You're in love.
Because now, you know, the kids have to go, you know, one side and then the other side, which, you know, guys out there, if you're married and you're happy, try to stay together because it's really hard on holidays. But, you know, I made it through with great friends and they, you know, I went from one friend to the other and then I met up with my kids for dinner. And we partied until like 2 a.m. It was pretty fun. I feel like a 21-year-old. We went to the coach house.
We know you feel 21 if you're riding on a motorcycle in your dress with the hair flying around.
Okay, well, hold on. I have to tell you. So Steve Peterson's here. Can we see him there? Can you say hello? And he's all about sustainability. And he's here with a whole crew of Canadians. They live here and there. And we're going to get them on from time to time because there's so much sustainability that's in Canada. And, you know, of course, I think our country's number one, but, you know, he obviously Steve thinks Canada's number one, but we want to make our country way more sustainable, way more sustainable, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're number two. So he's giving us some tips on how we can do that. But one of the ways that today I was sustainable is I thought, why is he going to drive his motorcycle all the way back to Fountain Hills and all the way back, just change your shirt and let's carpool on this motorcycle. Even though I'm wearing dress and heels, and I did it. And, you know,
guys, just watched the video right before, and she pulled up in that dress and heels. And here's the funny thing. She was so worried about her hair, right? Which we all would be. No, that's a natural thing, especially for a woman.
Right?
And so when she got up, I was like, I don't know, Kinga. I think when you get up every morning, you should take a ride in the motorcycle. Because it looked really good.
Thank you, Krita.
You guys agree? I think your hair looks really good.
It looks pretty
okay, so the
good.
Messy look is better.
That is the sustainable way of doing your hair. You just ride around.
Okay, well, okay, I'll just fluff it
sustainable hair.
Okay, there we go. It is sustainable because I didn't wash it after my hike.
Ew, I don't know if you want to tell everybody that, but since we're talking
sustainability. Though. I did shower.
Okay,
I did shower.
I'm so glad. I thought about that. You got here really fast. But since we're talking sustainability, of course, we have a house full of guests who are all about sustainability, right?
Can I announce?
Yes.
Okay.
She is really, really, really excited today.
So excited.
And I think it's that hike. Guys, you know, hiking, that's sustainable. It gets that oxygen going.
Osvaldo Sala, he's here from ASU School of Sustainability. Professor, what is your exact title, please?
I am the Julie Wrigley Professor of Life Sciences and Sustainability. And I'm director of the Global Dryland Center.
The Dryland
Center at Arizona State University.
Okay.
And we are excited to hear more from you because I'm telling you, it is a learning lesson. He had so many things that I just didn't even understand how much this affects our everyday life. I mean, literally what you eat. I mean, everything.
Everything.
So we're really excited about that. And then we have another guest, right, Diane?
Yes, we've got Inger Erickson here from Parks and Recreation.
Yay.
And she does such a great job that she gets all the people in Phoenix to be so excited about all the great parks that we have that they, you know, come out and vote and approve money to go towards purchasing more land that we can use for Parks and Rec. That's so we awesome. Have beautiful mountains and mountain preserves that we can walk through.
And they keep it clean. There are trash cans right. everywhere. And, right. and they're doing their part. So she's going to tell us a little bit about what we need to do more of. And then some places maybe some of mm-hmm. us want to go that we haven't been. Right.
And she has a lot of events coming up. And she can also inform us of that so we can all partake. And also, I didn't know the difference between the preserves and the parks. And Camelback Mountain that I hike almost every day is actually a park. It's not a preserve. And she can tell us what those differences are and what that means.
Yes, so we are yes. definitely excited for that. You guys will be surprised. I mean, the weather is gorgeous right now, so it's the perfect time to get out.
And then we have a musician,
yes,
Quita.
We've got Miss Lois Zozo Brado in the house.
Zozo Brado.
She is a soloist, and we are excited. Very, very excited. She says, hi!
And she writes her own music, and yes. the Sean Cooney that has his own music studio,
Great producer.
Yes.
My daughter.
He has so many famous musicians there, and they're very green. It's called Three Leaf
Productions.
Yes. he's going to be our liaison now with music. He's helping getting all these famous musicians on our show. So thank you, Sean Cooney and Three Leaf Productions.
And then since we're talking holidays and sustainability and all of the good stuff, we can't forget to mention our premier sponsor, Goodwill Industries.
Thank you, Quita.
And listen, since you guys are talking gifts and things, remember, it's about the meaning. It doesn't mean you have to buy something new. It's all about recycling and reusing. So get on out to Goodwill. If you guys have not seen, they have so many gift ideas and so many things for decor. So why spend full price for anything?
You'd be surprised. They have all those Santa hats. I was there recently with Rachel, and they have all the Christmas decorations. They have Christmas lights. It's crazy. It's like a little Christmas store. But also, we didn't say hello to Craig, because I'm so glad that Craig is back with our show.
Yes,
Craig, you too. Need a mic. Can I give you my mic?
Craig is giving you a look. He's like, I've been talking.
Craig, how was your Thanksgiving, and welcome back to our show?
Thank you. And my Thanksgiving was busy. I was playing cowboy at Rawhide all day.
We have to go see you.
We got to film something there.
If I may give a plug.
We're talking 21.
From now until December 20. What? Huh?
Just saying. What'd you,
wait, well, I can always back that tape up and listen, so you better say it now.
Wait, hold on. Are you wearing guns during this show?
Here, let me show you a picture. Of course. I have a Colt 45
single action. So is it like a shoot down? What do you do? Model.
Yeah, here's a, I know
he
nobody
pretends
can see
like
this, but
he's 21.
There's me in my... one of my outfits.
So funny. Look at
but,
this.
And Craig, when are you there?
I was about to say that.
Tell me.
Every weekend, Friday nights, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, we are doing shows at 6 o'clock. Us Rough Riders, we usher Santa into the park.
Oh, really?
And then at six, and Ed Vanderly, he's the owner of the Rough Riders, so you can
really?
Come and see Ed
that's
and me cool. make
oh,
fools
gosh.
Out of ourselves.
How fun is that?
But, I have no idea.
Kate's okay, like, how fun is
okay,
it? How
we
watching
are
you
schedule
make a
this. We will
okay.
schedule that. We're going,
so,
okay?
After
so
Santa
much.
Comes
okay.
in at 6, at 6:30, we do our holiday special show.
Nice.
And it's called Is There Really a Santa Claus? And it's an Old West version of a Santa Claus story. So,
well, of course,
with that
wow.
being said,
well, there are kids involved. Do you tell the
wow.
truth? Okay,
I believe
and
in Santa
you don't know.
Still.
Who's, okay.
I'm not
I
even going to justify that with an answer.
My
it
Santa,
got all quiet. Hey, we tell the truth here. I'm sorry, you're not going to.
I believe
me to
in Santa.
It.
I'm sorry, but I have to tell you, my Santa is up on Camelback Mountain. I climb up there and talk to Santa almost every day the whole month of December.
Well,
and I know some people are against it, mm-hmm. but I'm not.
Well,
against
Santa,
We'll ask Inger how she feels about it. I think she's against it because I did hear her speak, and the whole room was against it. But I'm sorry. I believe in Santa Claus, and I believe in Christmas, and I don't think it's not. I don't think it's. We'll talk about it.
Santa shows up. Santa shows
we'll
up.
Talk at, about it now.
Santa shows up at Rawhide 6 o'clock Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night.
Okay, we'll come see you, Craig. Thank
All
you so
right.
much.
So and let's get right back. Down to the goods because you guys have been waiting and waiting and
Hold
waiting.
On. Jody.
Jody, she's throwing.
We've
got
to say hello to Jody. Jody, come over to the mic and say hello. She's our intern.
Hello, everyone.
And what's our announcement? We're going to make Quita about and Diane. What's happening with Jody? What's happening our second? Her second.
If
internship?
You're asking us, maybe you yeah. should tell us.
Okay, Jody, you tell us. Tell us your decision.
Well, I have declared a minor in sustainability at ASU for the spring semester.
Awesome.
And you also decided you wanted to come back and do a second internship with us. You could have gone anywhere, and you want
I'm
to be with us.
Thinking about it. But,
Welcome back.
Yes, and Osvaldo It's your turn to tell these people what we have been waiting for. We want to know more about these drylands. Can you start with just telling people, what are drylands? What is it?
Drylands are all these parts of the world. The production is limited by the amount of rainfall. So drylands are deserts, grasslands, steppes, open woodlands.
So Arizona. Arizona's dryland.
Arizona is a dryland.
And
dryland is a generic name for desert. Desert is an extreme dryland. But
ASU is right in the middle of the dryland.
Arizona State, the city of Phoenix, the state of Arizona are all in the middle of drylands. And drylands are not unique. They are 40% of the terrestrial surface are drylands. Drylands cover a huge, large area of our planet. It hosts
40%. You told me earlier.
40% of the terrestrial surface is this what we call drylands, deserts, grasslands, steppes, woodlands, and it hosts 30% of the population of the world. 30% of the human beings call home a dryland, mm-hmm. and among them are when you think about drylands, don't think about the Phoenicians who live in air-conditioned homes, but the majority of the people who live in drylands are those that depend very closely on the natural resources. Think about the herders in Africa. There are drylands in North America. There are drylands in South America. Most of the Chile, Peru, Argentina is drylands. But in Africa, most of Northern Africa is drylands. Most of the Southern Africa, the western part, Namibia, is all drylands. Most of China is covered by drylands.
So how does it affect us, though?
We live in a dryland.
And the carbon impact on drylands, what is that?
Drylands account for a large fraction of the carbon sequestration or carbon loss of the planet. Mm-hmm. In fact, drylands explain most of the variability from one year to the other of the carbon cycle. It's impossible to understand the balance, the carbon balance of our planet without understanding what's happening in drylands. The carbon balance is related with climate change, that we humans are putting more carbon into the atmosphere, and that is warming our planet very, very rapidly. Mm-hmm. And those changes in climate, in temperature, affect the rainfall patterns. So most of the southwest of the United States is going to be drier, as most of the northeast is going to be wetter. So we're going to live in a world that's going to be significantly warmer.
So
it's going to be drier.
Our show is about solutions.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about all this climate change and all these problems. But mm-hmm. what is your solution or what do you teach at your sustainability program there? What are the solutions? Because we don't want people that are listening to feel like, oh, gosh, we just can give up. You know, the world's doomed. What are the solutions? Right.
So what do we do?
What can we do?
There is no silver bullet.
Okay.
There's not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's not one solution. There are
many,
hundreds, if not thousands, of solutions.
Okay.
We need to do them all.
Yes.
We are in a very desperate state, and it's not that we can wait till we find the silver bullet. We have to do them all.
Okay. We want to do them all.
And there are a lot of solutions that are bottom up, like Diane was talking about, recycling the paper. This is from us to the world, and we need to balance that from top down. I think it's our leaders that are supposed to recognize the threat that climate change means for civilization. I think it's not the planet is not going to disappear, but our civilization, the way we know it, is threatened by climate change. And so we citizens who live in a democracy need to convey our needs to our leaders and tell them that climate change is a top priority and it's related with the well-being of our children.
So I have a question for you. A lot of our states are different with sustainability. If you travel to Seattle, if you go to Portland,
California.
Oregon,
California,
there's way more sustainability. Even though I love Arizona and I don't want to put it down, we don't have as much sustainability implementation here as we do in other states.
Correct.
Or I have a lot of Canadian friends, for example, Steve Peterson that's here, and it's way more sustainable there. And we want to make those changes here. And that's why our show is making a difference because it's the awareness. how can we get our government here to be more on board with some of these other states that are way more sustainable?
And also, again, there's not one way of doing it.
I think
what you are doing is one part of the important things that we need to do is to talk to, like you talk to your 7 million listeners. I talk to my students every week at Arizona State University.
Okay.
And I don't tell them what to do because that is usually doesn't help. But we discuss, we roll our sleeves and say, this is a problem that we all have together.
I want to come to your class and check it out.
Yeah. So we roll our sleeves and say, how we solve it? What are the things that prevent you from recycling the paper? Or what are the things that are in? And we work together in this difficult path trying to find a common ground.
What are some of the things they've come up with?
For example, there are ways in which we generate energy. We can go from burning coal to burning gas, natural gas, that it could be a bridge into a more sustainable energy production, like solar and wind. And most of my students are eager to learn about sustainability.
Mm-hmm. My daughter's major is sustainability with urban planning, and she's the one that got me into sustainability long ago.
And Jody has a minor in our school of sustainability.
Yes, she does.
And you know why? Why you think kids like Jody are so interested in sustainability?
Because it's everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Because it's everywhere, and it's their future. We're going to be gone by the time we have start paying the cost. Already we see sea level rise. We see a lot of impact. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to dry lands.
I disagree with that. I definitely want our airs, even for our life, I want the air to be cleaner. I want to not see smog. I don't want to see pollution.
Mm.
I was hiking today, and I did see a lot of haze.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. I want to see the view that's pretty.
But I think what Osvaldo is saying is yes, we care, but the long-term, really, really horrible effects, we don't have to deal with them. They're the ones that has to deal with them.
Well, that's true, because it's only going to get worse if we don't make it better.
Right. Yeah.
If we don't make it better.
Yeah.
High five.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and also let's go run back to drylands. Mm-hmm. I think we do have a responsibility. We live in Arizona, that is smack in the center of the drylands of North America.
Mm-hmm.
We live in Phoenix, in the valley. We work at Arizona State University. We do have a responsibility to create the knowledge, to train the people to tackle with the problems of drylands. And drylands can play an enormous role in achieving the sustainability of our planet in by helping to reduce the impact of climate change, managing the carbon balance in drylands, by reducing land degradation. And also, when we talk about drylands, we tend to think about drylands being only one thing. But the problems of drylands in North America are quite different than the drylands in Africa or
mm-hmm.
China.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the drylands in our part of the world are affected by climate change. They are not affected severely by land degradation.
Okay.
And we were in China a few years ago, and you see in stunning examples of land degradation. When you think about overgrazing, you never thought about something so degraded as China that has been overgrazed for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another threat, and we need to contribute to that. How are we going to do it? I think the easiest path is to contribute to the teaching of a new generation of people who are aware of that. And mm-hmm. and also they may need some help. They may need our help in developing solutions to attain sustainability.
So, Osvaldo, we are so thankful you're here tonight, and I don't know why it's taken this long for us to get you here. And Diane Getz is the one that was instrumental in getting you here.
My
so thank
Heather.
You, Diane,
yeah.
and thank you, Osvaldo. We're coming back to you, but I think we're going. Are we going to a song now?
We're getting ready to. But
first,
I want to talk a little bit more about, because you were talking solutions, and you were saying Diane started off with recycling, and we're talking repurposing, and you say there's so many solutions, but can you tell us a couple of those top easy things for people to do? I want people to walk away and say, okay, I'm going to start today doing something different.
High five. I love it.
So can you tell us some things that you think are easy things that people can start doing?
And if you want to take time to think about it, if you don't have it off the top of your head.
No, I think that
okay.
I regret to have to say that there are not easy solutions for the most difficult problems that humanity has ever faced. Well, this is the biggest threat of civilization that we've ever faced.
But we need something that we can all do to make a difference.
I'm sorry.
No. I mean, tell us.
I'm sorry. We need to do a lot of things.
So give us the difficult things. What can we do?
Well, what about, stop driving? I was just curious, okay, so we live in the desert. I mean, this is a desert climate, desert ecosystem, but yet all of us seem to, not all of us, but a lot of people like to have green grass in their backyard. Mm-hmm. And they add this tree and that tree and plants. And mm-hmm. I mean, with all the people moving to the valley, how is this affecting our desert, you know, ecosystem? And I mean, it must be having a great effect on it, right?
I mean, the bugs, you know, that the water that we use to irrigate our lawns is coming from the mountains of Wyoming, don't you?
No. I thought it was the Colorado.
Yeah, the Colorado is fed from the from the Rocky Mountains in Wyoming. There are the snow from the melts and runs off and forms the Colorado River, and we channel it here. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't think it's a problem that can be solved by. I think it's we love a. Nita and I like to have a dry backyard, mm-hmm. and we have a little spot. But I don't think that's going to have it. That makes us feel better. But it's not going to really solve the problem. The problem is much more complex. And I also think that the best path is trying to influence our leaders.
That's a great idea. Right there. Mm-hmm. Leaders, go to the leaders. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. We always say
go talk to them. Send them a text. Send an email.
Yes.
Call them and say, this is important for us.
Our show needs to go right to the top. There
Make
we
a
go.
Song about
Governor
it.
Governor Ducey.
So our show was at the United Nations, by the way. I don't know if we've talked about it on the shows before. And we were right there with Richard Branson and the Queen of Sweden and all your top leaders of the world, except for Trump. Trump was not there. And I'm not putting him down because he's our president and I don't believe in that. But we just all need to come together. And I was at the
Oceans. And you guys were there?
Yes, the Oceans Alliance Conference is what it was called. And, we all have to make our move and just do our small little steps every day. And like he's saying, it's not one thing, it's everything. And one thing that I can say in my neighborhood that I noticed that we can all do, people come into these homes and they just, they say, oh, I'm just going to scrape this house and start all over. Why? That's so not sustainable. Mm-hmm. These homes are beautiful. Or like I frequent these hotels, or we do, and all of a sudden they're remodeling it again. And it's like, it looks great. Yeah. Just, build it once and let's stop demolishing homes when they look great. That's one little tip I'm going to give.
Okay. That's Tank Kinga's tip of the day.
Are we going to Lois now?
We are having some music. We're talking healing. We're talking making the world a better place. And Ms. Lois Zozobrado.
Okay. Is she going to stand or sit?
Yes, she is going to stand. Zozo, come on over. And just tell us first off, you are a soloist. So I know Kinga doesn't want to move. No. Yes. Yes, okay. Here you are. Let's help you get. Now, first off, how long have you been playing?
I've been playing for 4 years, and then shortly the ukulele that I have over there for 2.
Nice. Wait. All right, what are you playing for us now?
Just because you guys were talking about earlier, Christmas, Thanksgiving, it's the holiday season, I'm going to start off with a Christmas song. And then second time around, if you guys want to join along, please feel free.
All right, show us what you got.
All right.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, with treetops listening, children listening. Bells and snow. May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Are you guys want to join if you want to?
Tops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells and snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write. May your day days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Okay, I have to say, you asked us to sing along. Nobody wanted to because your voice. Right. I know Diane's like, I got you. But your voice is absolutely gorgeous and strong.
Thank you.
And when you talk, not that your voice isn't gorgeous when you talk, but it's a whole nother level, the deepness, the strength. How long did you say you've been singing?
Since before I can talk. Like, wow. For reals, I'm not kidding. I would always, like, when music was playing, I would always, like, hum it or go blah, 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 blah. And then I started talking, so.
How old are you?
I'm 18. I just turned 18.
Wow.
Woo, I'm an adult now.
I'm a big girl.
I just can't even believe I agree with what she's saying. I didn't think you were just going to belt out this like amazing, like strong. The voice is just amazing. I just.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, your voice is pretty when you're talking, like she said.
Yeah.
But it's just so strong when you start singing.
A lot of people don't expect because my voice is a little different when I sing. It's more full.
It's very full.
Very full.
And rich.
So. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Sean Cooney and Three Leaf Recording for sending us this beautiful angel to us.
Go Sean.
Thank you. Go Sean Cooney. Good.
We are excited to have you back for a second and third song.
Of course.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Zozo.
Thank you.
And Quita and Diane, next time you're dancing, what the heck? You were sitting down. We're dancing
were
next time.
We were enjoying. We were trying to focus.
Okay, next time I'm making you guys
Kinga
dance.
Kinga is the dancer, and she thinks she can make us dance. But Diane,
you dance
she
every
doesn't
time.
Have control.
We're trying to stay focused.
Right. We're focused, Kinga. And speaking of focus, let's talk about our second guest
Inger
in the house, Ms. Inger
Erickson,
with the Phoenix Parks and
Here
Recreation, your director, right?
That is correct.
All right, so you had a whole list of all sorts of things. I mean, you are the queen of knowing what sustainability is about because it's outside.
Absolutely. You know, Parks and Recreation, just especially in Phoenix here, we have such unique treasure in our mountain parks. And it starts with preservation, right? We've preserved over 40,000 acres of natural areas that can't be developed, can't be built on, and will be there in perpetuity for the community.
In the Phoenix area.
In the Phoenix area.
Wow, nice.
Started with South Mountain, moved on to the Phoenix Mountain Preserves, which is the center part of town, right?
Yes.
And then most recently, we've added lots of acres out towards the north part of town. And we won an award just recently for our newest trailhead off of Cave Creek, our Carefree Highway, and right there as you go over.
What was the award?
The Cascordia Award, which is Environmental Sustainability and Stewardship.
Wow, how exciting.
Yeah.
It was the Arizona Forward Award.
And right. Could you define, because I learned when you spoke at that Mountain Preserve committee meeting, what is the difference between the preserves and the parks?
Sure. So the preserves are the areas that have got to remain as a park or an open space. You can't build on it. You can't do improvements as far as, you know, building houses or anything like that. In a park area, you can put basketball courts up, right? You could put facilities. So Papago Park, for example, you have the zoo, and you have baseball and golf, right. and you also have softball fields, and you also have the botanical gardens, right? That's a park, and that that is something where we've done some commercial development and have some other uses than just open space, trails, trailheads, things of that nature. And again, it's very important for us to preserve area because we don't want to be all congested and tied in. And Phoenix really has that, our park system really is, that's the unique thing that we have different than other other cities or other large municipalities. It's right here in the heart of the city. You know, you don't have to drive miles and miles and miles to go for a hike. You can be 15 minutes in any part of the city to a great hiking trail. Every year we have over 4 million people who use our trail system. We have 220 miles of trails throughout our system.
So question on Camelback Mountain, I don't want to see more homes built up going more higher up on the mountain. Is that possible for that to happen?
It probably wouldn't happen in the sense of, you know, it's known as a really a sacred area. And, you know, one of the things we would want to do is look at the possibility of making it a preserve for the future. And so,
I welcome that.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't
realize. But I still want sand up there.
Part of it's not a preserve. It's, well, it's a park because you
can't. Camelback itself is not technically in the preserve system. Phoenix Mountain Preserve, so it's North Mountain, Squaw Peak.
But that might change your thing.
Piastowa Peak. Piastowa Peak.
I can't get used to it.
That and South Mountain, again, was the original preserves. So... those are just areas that, you know, you can go into even Piestewa Peak and feel like you're somewhere else. You don't even feel like you're in the middle of the fifth largest city in the United States.
Well, and you're talking about how gorgeous these hikes are, which is why so many of us do them. But there's also a big problem with hiking. A lot of people are being rescued. Why? What are we doing wrong?
Well, I have to tell you, this last year, we've done a really good campaign on Take a Hike, Do It Right. Yes. And that campaign is really focused on, you know, some principles of, you know, making sure that you tell people where you're going, making sure that if you have water, which you should, you turn around when you're halfway through your water. If you've gone halfway up and you're halfway through your water, you need to turn around and go back because it's strenuous, it's heat. Even when there's not a lot of warmth, it's a strenuous hike for Camelback Mountain. Mm-hmm. It's a strenuous hike even at Piestewa Peak.
So true. Julie, our show manager right there, productions manager, and I were hiking, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago when it was really a hot day, and I had no water. And I'm a germaphobe. Oh. And the whole way she's like, you got to take a sip of my water. You can take a sip of my water. I'm like, no. And so we got all the way to the top. And I was like,
Jenny's got cold.
My son and I don't even drink after his water, my daughter. And so I did the whole hike without a sip of water, and I was dying. I was dying. Well, it was really hard.
And people always forget that you need to hydrate before you actually go, right? A lot of people get into trouble spring training. We have a lot of people get into trouble because, you know, they're having a good time. They're partying, and so they haven't had an adequate amount of water before they went hiking. They think they can do it. You know, they think they're 20 years old again, and they get themselves in trouble very quickly. And it's very, it's dangerous not only for the hikers, but it's dangerous also for the rescuers, right? You know, sometimes when they have to use the helicopters, the conditions, especially when it's super hot, really aren't great for the helicopter. So we have to be mindful of really paying attention to our own body, our own, being honest with ourselves. But also, you know, sometimes people wear the wrong shoes. They wear flip-flops. And it's really not appropriate to go up on Camelback Mountain wearing flip-flops.
Or so really any mountain, right?
Exactly.
Unless you're walking on a paved road, probably, right? So, so you know, we've had some success this year with that Take a Hike, Do It Right campaign, and we really are proud of the partnership with, you know, the local hotel industry, the Arizona Tourism Group, for really getting that message out there, and also with our fire department, our police department, because they've helped us get the message out there as well.
Yeah. So I like hiking at night, and Piestewa, if you go up the backside, my parents live there, and so there's like a private trail, and so nobody, it doesn't close down. And so I always do that at night with flashlights and love that. And I didn't know that Camelback Mountain had a time restriction. And I went with my daughter, and we, you know, I said, we have to turn around because it's going to start getting dark. And she's like, no, we're going to the top, of course. So we went to the top.
Daughter won.
She did. And so we got up there and we could not see anything. And all of a sudden my phone started dying. So we were trying to, you know, see our way down, and it was really hard. And one of her friends was with us and she kept following. And so we were almost one of those people that needed a rescue. But long story short.
So you're telling us you were dehydrated, not taking water, and you're hiking in the dark.
I'm just confessing. So all of a sudden,
this
gorgeous guy shows up, of Kinga. And he had a flashlight on his head, two flashlights in his hands, and he had come from the other side, and he guided us the whole way down.
So indeed,
we were okay.
Payeswa Peak is something that you could technically hike into the evening. The park closes at 11, but Camelback Mountain, both Choya side and the Echo Canyon side, it is... sun up to sundown, and it is required to be off the mountain at that time.
I found that the hard way because there was an officer waiting for us when we came down, and he wanted to give us a ticket, and I started crying, and he didn't give us the ticket.
So there's Kinga's second tip of the day.
So
if
we need
an
to be watching
stops
for her.
You, just cry. Right.
Don't worry, I've got your name out to all the Rangers. The Rangers will know who you are now.
Oh, I know Jim. Do you know Jim the Ranger? He's so sweet.
He won't be anymore.
All right. So okay, so these tips you're giving us, these are great whether you're hiking in any part of the world. So you said take your water, wear the right gear, tell somebody
where you're going to be. Always have a phone or some way to communicate with people. Because sometimes, you know, even the most prepared people get into trouble and you have to have a way to communicate. You know, if you have a time that you're going to be going and coming back, making sure that people know that so that even if your phone does die, they know when to start looking for you, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And again, you know, taking plenty of water, knowing your abilities. You know, some of us want to be back when we were 20 years old, and we just have to remember that, you're not, as you get older, and you have to pay attention. We have people who hike that mountain every single day, but you could just step wrong one time and twist your ankle.
Yes.
And if people don't know that you're up there or they can't help you, or maybe that's a day that there aren't a lot of people, you could get yourself into serious trouble.
Well, so you definitely shouldn't be alone, I think.
Shouldn't be alone.
Just definitely be with people.
So how are Parks and Rec, like, helping to be sustainable? I mean, as far as, like, I mean, I would say probably most people bring a hydro flask with them with water in it. But I'm sure there's still people bringing water bottles and all that. But, I mean, do you have water at the beginning of the trail? Like, water fountains that people can refill their bottles? And...
Sure. So most of our trails do have water. The desert mountain that I was talking about, one of the ones that got the award, because it's so far off the grid, it doesn't have water. And so we've posted signs that tell people, you know, you need to bring enough water to make sure you're safe. But most of our trailheads do have water, the main trailheads. But as you know, we have lots of areas where people come in, social trails. We just heard you mention one that, you know, you come from your parents' house. So that's something that, again, even though we do have water and people can fill up their water bottles, you know, you just need to make sure that you're prepared for yourself. Even those big camel packs, right? That way you don't have to carry the water bottles. Those are good tools as well for people to use. And, you know, it keeps it out of your hands so that if you have to, you know, move a little bit, you don't actually put your hands on water bottles, or you can't because you've got something in your hand.
Yeah.
So those are good tools as well.
Right.
So that's one of the initiatives you said you're talking about. And you also said the city of Phoenix has something with trees that's helping cool us off a little bit. What's that about?
So we have a goal. We have a tree and shade master plan in the city of Phoenix. And the goal is by the year 2050 to increase the canopy of the city by 25%. And, you know, we can't do it alone. People as individuals in their own homes need to help us, because as a city, we don't own all the property, and we can do our portion. And in the parks anyway, what we're trying to do is when we remodel parks with our Parks Preserve Initiative funds, which you mentioned earlier, those flatland parks that have green grass and people go to play, you know, sports and things of that nature. When we remodel parks, which we have been doing lately.
Hans
Park is going to be remodeled.
Very sustainable, too.
Extremely sustainable.
That we really try to increase the canopy and make the canopy in that park 25% or more. And again, it doesn't have to be just trees and shade, things like that. It can be engineered shade as well, because what we want is a walkable community. And a walkable community leads to people, you know, not driving their vehicles.
Sustainable,
absolutely. The city, not part of my department, but the city has just recently added some bike lanes that are protected, right? And so that, again, encourages people to ride who maybe wouldn't ride because maybe they don't feel safe, but they've got protected lanes on 15th Avenue now, and it will be something that you'll see more and more into the future. You've seen throughout Phoenix, too, where they've painted green stripes down the center of a lane, and technically bikes then have full access to that particular lane, which, again, increases people's desire because they feel safer.
Oh, yeah. That's huge. Because I know my family, we ride a lot. We'll go downtown, and I've got small kids. And the fear is always, I don't want to be in the street. People don't watch out for bikes. It's just not, people aren't alert enough. So you're not supposed to. I learned, actually, a couple of months ago, you're not supposed to. It's illegal to ride on the sidewalks. But we ride, oh, I just confessed. Kinga, you got me. But, yeah, we ride on the sidewalks because of that fear of getting hit by a car. So that's huge.
Okay, absolutely. Something important. Julie right there, our manager, productions manager, and I were riding bikes on Thanksgiving in the morning. What was the name of that bicycle company?
Lime Bike.
And in Phoenix, they're called Grid Bikes, but yes, same thing.
They're everywhere, and they're so sustainable, and we're going to get them on our show. Julie's in charge of that. Thank you. But we actually went on those bikes Thanksgiving and had a really nice bike ride, and it felt safe. We were on the canal. It was awesome. Thank you, Julie, for including me in that family bike ride.
All right. So what else? What else is happening with parks and recs now?
So LED lights as well, right?
Yes.
The LED lights movement, really, the technology is better, so much better now. It's affordable. And we've got 35 projects now that we've had. We've got 180 parks, right? And we've got 35 of our parks that we've put LED lights into, which, again, is about a quarter of the amount of energy used by traditional lights. We've started putting up sports field lights, so the big lights that you have for baseball and softball and soccer fields, those, again, are big energy drains. And so by putting up LED lights, we're able to not only make a better quality light for the user and cut it off right at the edge because they're very controlled. They doesn't spill out into the environment and, again, cause light pollution, things of that nature. And so we're really making efforts in that, and so is the city as a whole. Our streets department is recently going to be putting their plan out to change all the lights in the city streets as well. So working together, it's been a couple of years coming, but we'll really get around to that, and it'll save a lot of energy, a lot of money for the taxpayers, but also a lot of energy for the community.
Well, and it saves people money even buying the LED lights on your own because they last longer, right?
Absolutely, they do.
So money saving and money helping savings. The environment. I say that's win-win.
Yes, we need to have you very often because everything you have to talk about is what we're all about. Thank you so much. We want to have you back on after we cut to music with Lois.
Ms. Zozo is back in the house.
Awesome.
And you've got all your fans and everybody watching and listening. So you guys make sure if you're watching and listening, share, because that's going to be the best way for us to get the message out of what we need to do. And that is saving this planet. One show at a time. All right, Zozo, what are you singing for us?
I'm actually going to sing an original. It's off my album Sunshine Boulevard. You guys, if you guys are listening, you guys can check that out on Spotify and iTunes. And it's basically about living life. And sometimes it has its ups and downs, mazes and mountains, but we get through it.
All right. So if you're at home, dance along, sing along. It's party time up in here, right,
Heck
Zozo?
Yeah.
All right. Always show us what you got.
Every little step I take feels a little closer to nowhere. Maybe just a little faith is what I need. I feel a shaking in my knees, yeah, the midnight months surrounding me. But when I open up my eyes, they just float away. It's a part of every day. Life is full of mazes of mountains, meadows and battlefields seem to get it the way. I don't care, 'cause life is unfair. Mazes and mountains. Mazes and mountains. The weight is getting narrow, breathing air, it's making me choke. Wanna get above it all and enjoy the sights. Coming back to where I started, feeling
feeling lost and brokenhearted. Why are all the choices left or right? But it's gonna be alright. Yeah, yeah, life is full of mazes of mountains, meadows and backfields. Seem to get in the way. I don't care, I don't care, 'cause life is unfair. Mazes and mountains, thunderstorms and hurricanes, bring rain but they just pass on by, by. Full light shines again, just wanna see some blue skies. Life is full of mazes and mountains, meadows and backfields. Seem to get it the way. I don't care, I don't care, 'cause life is unfair. Mazes and mountains, do, do, do. Mazes and mountains, yeah, mazes and mountains.
All right, so we have to know if we want to
Hear
more of that. I mean, your energy, everything, right? You were going to say something, Kinga. Interrupt it. Go.
Well, I just feel like I'm so thankful that you're here. I look at you and I had no idea that that voice can come out. You look so young. It's amazing. The way you sing is incredible. It's
Thank
a God
you.
Gift.
So how can we hear more of your music?
Awesome. So I'm basically on every social media that you can think of. Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, all that can be checked out at Lois Zozobrado. Just my name, sweet and simple.
So Zozobrado.
Let me spell that. Zozobrado. And then my first name, Lois, Lois. A lot of people say there's a U in it. I don't really hear it.
That's but Lewis, right?
That's what
right.
I'm saying. But Lois Zozobrado.
Pretty name.
Have
Thank
to say, you
so
are very mature.
Yes.
Gorgeous and talented.
So gorgeous.
And
you've
got
you
a bright
there.
Future.
Thank you.
Will you come back and see us again?
Heck yeah. It's been fun. I love listening.
So much fun.
And everything. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll ask you back before Christmas because we want more Christmas music.
Please.
You'll be on our Christmas show.
Yes, Christmas edition.
And we also are having a holiday party December 14th, which we didn't announce yet. And so maybe we can get you to play at our party.
I do private parties, yeah.
There we go.
We can do that.
Love it. All right, thank you. Thank you for joining. Yes. And we've got Mr. Osvaldo back up here on
thank
the
you.
Stage. And I know we only have a couple of minutes, but there was more we wanted to talk with those solutions and things. And you said ASU is doing a lot to help the dry lands. Well, what is ASU doing?
I don't know if you know, but Arizona State University has a charter. And part of the charter is that Arizona State University assumes fundamental responsibility for the economic, social, cultural, and overall health of the community it serves.
So what does that mean?
That means that Arizona State University is embedded in the dry lands. It's embedded in the
doing
community.
Its part. Okay.
And as a result of that, Arizona State University has a charter. A consequence of the charter is that the Arizona State University assumes responsibility for where it's located. And as a consequence of that, has created this Global Drylands Center that has the goal of being, in simple words, a one-stop shop for everything that you want to know about drylands. If the Arizona State University will soon be the place where people that are interested in education at all level, undergraduate, graduates, or postgraduate, ones people who are already working and need more education.
Okay.
And the same thing for discovery in outreach. This is what I'm doing today.
Telling you about
why Arizona State University is doing what it is doing, because they assume the responsibility that they have to lead the sustainability of arid lands in the world.
So ASU is doing their part, guys. You know, we push and push and push for us all to do our part, whether it's 10 minutes of picking up trash, whatever the case may be. So it's been a great show. I mean, wouldn't you say we've learned a lot from how to hike, to see the beauty, to not get stuck?
Absolutely.
We've done it all. The dry lands, right. No getting stuck. So it's been a great show, great music, and we're so glad you guys joined us. So let's not forget that motto of saving
the planet.
One show at a time. Woo! Thanks to all of our guests.
Go Green.
Thank you for listening to In the Green Room. Join us here live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. or anytime on demand 24/7 on StarWorldWideNetworks.com.